finish to be long. There was hints of cocoa and rhubarb and boysenberry and some silky tannins that sort of hung around on the finish. I love this wine. I thought it was really delicious. It was a pleasant surprise. It's a winery that I've not really experienced before. And I thought this was really right in my wheelhouse as far as Pinot Noirs go. What did you think, Justin?
So on the nose, I got like rich cherries and good smoked pork shoulder. On the palate, it was really unique.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Really unique. Thank you. Okay,
really
awesome.
Unique. The finish was like fruity, like dark, fragrant fruits. Lots of tannin to it.
I guess you didn't know his last name is Thesaurus. So,
what do you think, Denise?
I'm speechless. Really, I don't know how Maury just completely overlooked the smoked meats. I don't understand that at all. It just hits me right in the face, on the nose, on the palate. You know, I always joke about my guy who's from New York at my local Italian market. He's in the meat department, and this is where I am. I'm in the meat department, and I'm getting just an amazing, I don't know about an exact pork shoulder, but yeah, that could be there.
I don't know where you're getting this smoked
meat
from.
It's amazing.
Cherry wood smoked.
Yeah.
It's not like a barbecue at all.
No.
It's just this lovely nose and taste.
I like to have my meat with my wine, not in my wine.
Try mine. I just want to make sure you didn't mix up your glass.
Okay. No, I have seen you mix meat in your wine.
We're not talking about praying to the porcelain god now.
No, I've seen you do it.
No?
I mean, three of us here are certified barbecue judges. I have seen you mix your meat and wine. Absolutely. So,
Bob, we're often aligned.
There's always the meat in your teeth.
Think about this.
Oh, I definitely
think about.
Right?
Yeah, but no, this was unique.
Yeah, really neat.
No, I definitely get that it's not smoky like a scotch, but there is definitely a smokiness to it, and it's not an overpowering smoke. It's like a barbecue smoke. I definitely get it. We'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing the Pinot Noir 2019 from Davis Estates. I'm with the majority here. I definitely get almost a smoked meat sort of nose to it. I get an earthiness. I get an umami sort of thing going. Yeah, 100%.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing. I mean, as soon as I smelled it, I went, man, I really want more of this.
It's a charcuterie board in a glass.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a beautiful Pinot. It's got a great structure. It's got a huge backbone. It's not that fruity, happy time kind of Pinot style. It's more the grab you by the throat and shake you kind of Pinot style.
No, this is a Pinot for cab drinkers,
yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, I mean, the finish on it is medium long. There's some berries there. It's got some nice tannin to it. I mean, just a really, really well done Pinot. I can't remember the last time I've had one quite this good. Yeah, they knocked it out of the park with this one. So we're going to be rating the Davis Estates Pinot Noir 2019, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Justin.
Now we're going to talk about the Davis Estates Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. It's 77% Cabernet Sauvignon, 22% Merlot grapes, 1% Petit Verdot, Napa Valley Vineyards Ithaca, Antinori, Buckeye, Azalea, and Nicolini. Aged 22 months and 55% new French oak, and it comes in at a heady 14.9% alcohol by volume. It's a dark ruby color. You get aromas of fig, good Luxardo cherries, black currants. There was some lavender when we opened it, and it's even more magnified now, an hour later. And you get a little bit of oak on the palate. You get complex layers of stewed fruits. You get a little bit of chewing tobacco, cranberry, and a little star anise at the end. The finish, kind of get that Dalmore chocolate orange thing going on. And this is a really well-made cab blend. What did you think, Maury?
I agree, Justin. You did a nice job describing it. I love the cherry on the nose, the black currant. The lavender was definitely prominent. On the palate, again, layers of fruit and complexity and, you know, the tobacco and a little bit of leather I thought was really nice. I didn't really get so much the star anise. It was very, very subtle. Finish is medium to long. I agree with you. The chocolate orange is there. It's subtle. It's not overpowering. You got to look for it, but it's definitely there if you look for it. It's got some nice tannins. It's got a beautiful structure and backbone. I think it's going to continue to age for a long time. It would definitely be described by many as young, but certainly not too young and not ready. Today, it did well with air, and it definitely improved with time in the glass, and we Venturied it to help it along. I loved it. I thought it was delicious, extremely well made. Really no flaws. The biggest shame of it is it's not widely available outside the winery. Denise, what do you think?
Ooh, that's what I think about that. It's too bad. Everybody should have access to this wine. The two of you did such a great job describing this wine. I'm just so pleasantly surprised by the lavender.
That we got it right? You're surprised
no,
we got it right?
No, by the lavender.
I'm surprised you got it right, yeah.
Lavender. So when I, you know, noticed that on the nose, I thought that was really exciting. And we talked briefly on the break about where all these flavors come from and how we or other people describe them and pick them up and notice them. And we were talking at length about, you know, the herbs and, you know, it's like walking through an herb garden. And out in Napa, they grow a lot of herbs. I mean, every winery uses rosemary as a hedge. They grow a lot of lavender out there. We were recently out there. There was a winery that all the lavender was in bloom. So it's really interesting that these wines, these grapes, these vines just pick up all of these beautiful floral notes and herb notes. And this particular wine, I don't often get lavender. So it was a pleasant surprise. The wine itself is delicious. I love the finish. Yes, to the chocolate and the orange, but more specifically, orange rind. I get a little bit of like a tartness. I don't know if it's tart, but...
No, it's definitely more orange rind than orange fruit.
Right. Not orange fruit. It's a little more tart, like the rind. And it's just, it's a really, really great combination of flavors. Love it.
I guess it's a good thing that they don't grow grapes near like garbage dumps and things of that nature.
That is a good thing.
But clearly, I think you bring up...
I know where there's a winery that's right behind a garbage dump.
And? Yeah. Have you ever tried the wine?
No, that's why.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Well, I think one of the things we're talking about how, you know, some of the uninitiated will ask, how do they get all those different fruit flavors in there and what are they adding? And I think uninitiated people don't always realize that the grapes, although it's just a grape, it can produce all these amazing flavors mm-hmm. and palate. And a lot, most of it usually comes from the grape. However, in some cases, and this may be one of them, the stuff in the area shouldn't be underestimated, which is why it's so important where your vineyard actually ends up, because you're right. You can pick up the rosemary from the rosemary hedges. We've seen wineries where there was previously a mint farm or a citrus farm, or they have olive trees planted. And some of those—
In addition to or prior to the vineyard?
Both.
Okay.
And I think that it's interesting to note how, I don't know the mechanism and whether it's pollination and bees, which the bees do a lot, or other things, or soil or terroir, but I think some of those outside ingredients and flavors work their way into the wine and create some of the magic. And so this is why it's so difficult to reproduce the same wine, even with the same clone of grapes in a different location, because so many things are variable and unaccounted for. So,
sure. If again, you've ever grown mint, you know you will forever have mint in that ground. You cannot get rid of it ever. It just never goes away.
Yeah, no matter what you do.
Never put it in the ground. It will never go away. Believe me when I tell
I believe you.
I've done it. I still have it.
Bob, you have anything to add?
It's a fantastic wine. I mean, just really so well put together. It's on the nose. Again, that floral, the lavender, that floral note to it. On the palate, it's just so heavy with dark fruit. A little bit of tobacco note to it. On the finish, chocolate, citrus. Definitely, citrus oil or citrus rind, not the fruit itself.
Not the pulp.
You know, big tannins.
No pith either. Pith is bitter.
Mm.
And again, like the Montalena wines we had before, big tannins, front mouth tannins, not back mouth tannins, but huge and just so incredibly well put together. The only bad thing about this is we only have one bottle.
And it's probably difficult to obtain. I'm understanding is it's mailing list or winery direct only.
Yeah, that's what I'm led to believe. I've never seen it in the store anywhere in Florida for sure. If it is available here, I've missed it. But fantastic wine. So we're going to be rating the... we're going to be giving the Davis Estates Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2018 an extremely well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Well, so, Bob, it's up to you now to tell us about the final wine of the show.
If one must, one must. So, our last...
Just drink it instead of talking about it.
Yeah, let everybody just listen to silence and static. Yeah, to hell with it.
Some slurping.
Yeah, I'm just done.
Some white noise.
Yeah, I'm just done.
Some image of
reflection. Because honestly, sip is worth a million words.
Normally, when we're doing a whiskey episode, we just have Brent over there heavy breathing. But the wine that we're going to be tasting now is the Davis Estates Phase 5 from 2015. It's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. 28 months and 225 liter French oat puncheons, 85% new. The color on this is as black as Satan's heart. It is absolutely opaque. It is absolutely fantastic. Light does not penetrate this. This is, I mean, the extraction on this is insane. On the nose, just a cluster of wild fruit and berries, dark cherries, black currants, a little bit of baking spice, and on the palate, hold on. On the palate, just wow. Just absolutely wow. Chocolate, black cherry, a little bit of a in the very, very back, a little bit of an herbal note to it. Huge body, beautiful, beautiful texture, just mouth coating front to back, top to bottom. A finish that goes on and on. It's got a nice tannin to it, nice chew to it. It's, I think, now just really starting to come into its prime. Over the next, I would think, maybe 4 or 5 years, this is just going to continue to get better. But absolutely delicious wine. I'm almost speechless. Extremely well done. What'd you think, Denise?
I agree with you. I'm loving the wild berries today across the board. And this wine definitely delivers on that, on the nose. Absolutely. And on the palate, really. Except they're a little deeper. They're a little darker, I think, on the palate. There's a description about some dry sage. Here we are again with the herbs today. And there it is. And that's a really lovely surprise. They also describe a little bit of cinnamon. I have not been able to pick that up.
No.
I keep going back to it. But somebody picked it up somewhere and wrote about it. So it would be interesting to know if other people, I mean, not necessarily at this table, could pick up on that. I agree with you. This is a big wine.
It's a monster.
Yeah, full body. It's got an amazing mouthfeel. It just keeps on going. Yeah, I'm just sorry we don't have a few bottles of this wine.
I'm upset.
I know where there's one bottle that might disappear.
I'm just upset there's not a case of it here. Yeah. That's all. I mean, this is huge.
So we open the wines and then we all get to enjoy them later, and there may be a fight. I'm thinking there's going to be a fight.
No, there's not. Well, you know, I do want to say one thing. When you guys use the term...
Oh, I got a little sediment surprise in mind too.
Big
today,
and monster.
Fun.
There was some sediment on the cork. But when you use the terms big and monster, it implies it's young and needs time. Mm-mm. This wine is beautiful right out of the bottle.
We've
aerated it and we've let it sit in the glass now, but it was delicious the minute I poured it. It's still delicious. It's the other one with the flavor turned up to 11. I find it just big, but big exploding flavors, not big as in tannic and tart and puckering, just the opposite. It's ready to go. I do think it's got a beautiful structure and backbone. It will last for many years, but I don't think you have to wait. I think this one is ready to go right out of the bottle. It's a beautiful cab. It's classic. It's, you can tell it's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. Again, the deep purple black color is just startling how dark it is.
And black like Satan's heart. Yes. I'm telling you, it's I'm having trouble coming up with enough words to really describe it.
Right. The tannins are there, but they're silky and beautiful.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
definitely not over tannic. It's definitely not astringent or any of the things you associate with a young, highly tannic Cabernet.
I mean, it's 2015 vintage, so it's got some age on it, but I could see this one easily going for easily another 10 years. And just getting better. But do you need to wait?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
If you have a bottle of this, open it today.
I agree with what Denise said. I'm getting much more savory spice than the cinnamon, the sage, and maybe a hint of rosemary. It's definitely got lots of dark fruit and dark cherries and things like that. This is a delightful wine. I'm happy to just take the bottle and leave now.
You know, mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say.
It's nice when you have a great wine that you can enjoy the minute you open it. So often we will have a wonderful wine with dinner, and by the end of my meal, I'm like, oh, wow, that wine got really great, and now I don't really have any more. But a wine like this, from the beginning of the meal, you're enjoying your wine with the meal. And that's pretty special.
Yeah. And the packaging is gorgeous. The bottle's heavy. It's simple packaging.
It is gorgeous.
But the bottle is tastefully done. I've just, everything about it, it's the whole package.
Yeah. If you're not happy with this, then again, something deep inside your soul is broken. I mean, honestly, we've had 6 wines today and there's not a, there's, I mean, I'd take a dump truck with any one of these 6.
This would definitely be my wine of the day.
Yeah.
Perhaps eclipsing even other wines we've had in other shows. This is really spectacular.
Hmm. What do you think, Justin?
It's bold. It's balanced. It's complex. It's a wine for celebration or a wine to close that really important business deal.
Well, the fat man made a funny.
All right. Well, we're going to be rating the Davis Estates Fay 5 2015, an extremely well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Denise, try to control yourself.
I can't.
Here's the sound Maury's never heard. Well, that's all the time we have today. Want to thank everybody for coming.
Good
thank
thing everybody. There's wine.
Thank everybody for coming. No, you thank me. Screw all of you. Thank me for this table. Good Lord. Thank you,
thank
Denise.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Maury.
Bob, a pleasure to be here. Thank you for finally getting us something that was worth drinking.
You didn't like the Mogan David last episode?
This is a step up.
Oh, okay. And thank you, Justin.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're going to be doing an episode soon on Bartles and James Vintage from the 80s. It's going to be awesome. So,
yes.
Well, this is Made Man Bob reminding you that life is too short to drink bad wine. And thank God we didn't have to do that today. So,
no, sir.
Yahoo.
No, sir. Yahoo.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a 110 Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.
A word more than wine. A need.